Can we wander back this way and go and see if we can find Mike, the PM, and he can do a demo? Because that's what PMs do.
PMs do demos, huh?
Yeah.
Ah.
No, so actually, we're just putting the update to 2004 out on the web. It should be going live about now.
Now, what's new in that update?
Bug fixes, some content updates. We make use of the Watson technology that came out of Office. So we get lots of live good bug reports when people do experience problems with the product. And we've made a bunch of fixes based on that to help stability. So that's going live pretty much right now.
Cool.
I must blog about it.
Yeah.
Let's go see if Mike is with us. And here we are. Aha, let's go bug Mike now. Are you buggable?
Sure, why not?
Sorry.
So, what do you do here?
What do I do?
You're the PM, right?
I'm the PM, which mostly means I'm management overhead and don't really do any real work.
But you get credit for all, right? You get credit for whatever Steve puts in the...
I don't love credit.
Just joking around here.
Yeah, so, I'm managing schedules and working on specs, thinking about, the product and what's going on with the current version and what we ought to do with the future version and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully,
So you're the guy who, when they ask you to send them on their Spaceship One, you say, no, the budget for that is not quite...
Yes, I'm the one that decides the difference between research trip and boondoggle.
All right, let me ask the latest version.
I'm going to give you a demo of the latest version. But I'm going to do some editing while I get it in a state which shows well, apply the makeup and so forth.
Ah, okay. Now, this version just shipped tonight, I heard, right?
Oh, yeah. Just shipped tonight. Actually, the update to this.
Right.
So, presumably we'll buy it later and view a bunch of, how should we say,
Hold on a second, I got
casual...
I gotta switch something else. Okay, so we're back. I'm not getting the refresh problems.
Good.
So what are you doing here?
All right. Well, what I want to show off is stuff that shows really well, obviously.
Right.
And one of the big investments we made last time around with the weather system. So I'll put myself into magic fly around mode here. Let me do a couple of things which might make this a wee bit easier to see.
Full screen mode.
Yes. Rid of that, rid of that, that. Alright. We'll just go ahead and slew up here and take a look at some of the clouds. So, one of the things we wanted to do was give a much richer cloud-in-cloud experience.
Right.
So, we created a system for creating volumetric clouds where each cloud is made up of a set of facing sprites to which texture is applied, and the system controls the position of those in a way which gives realism and variety to the various cloud types. So we can see here, we can sort of move around this cloud and see it from different angles, and it retains the overall three-dimensional cloud shape, whereas in prior versions it would look the same from every angle.
That's really pretty.
Yeah, so one of the challenges, of course, is that we've got all kinds of different cloud types you need to represent. Unlike a lot of games that simply paint a generic background on the sky, we have to represent cirrus, cumulus, stratus clouds, and so forth. And so we actually have a video we posted to the Flight Simulator website that shows how we do this. We use 3D Studio Max or GMax to model these using a custom script that creates the shape, and that gets exported and then loaded into the sim. Now, sort of combined with that is some work we did on the sky itself in terms of coloring and so forth, because it does give a very rich set of visual cues to the user on in terms of their experience detecting time of day and that type of thing. So what I'll do is go and just change the time of day to something a little bit closer to dusk. And let's see if this gives us a different variation. All right, so sun's a little bit lower in the sky. The coloration is changing from a light blue to a darker blue as we go up. I can even move the time a little bit further along. And
so you're just changing the...
see if we can get a sunset in here.
Local time.
Yeah. Okay, so the sun's going down a little bit. We've changed the sky color somewhat. And this is also something, the sky color is also something that's controlled by the RT. And we have a variety of sky colors that we can apply at various times a day. And we cycle through them on a more or less random basis. So sometimes you'll get a sort of a bright orange sunset. Sometimes you'll get a really deep red and purple sunset. So it gives some variety and interest to the scene. So go ahead and even further. So there's an example, and you notice that we're also lighting the clouds with the sky color. So we get nice sort of pinkish clouds with some nice shadowing on them and so forth.
It's going to be hard to see on this video, but this is just stunning looking. Yeah, it's,
so we spent a good deal of time doing that, and you can see the gradation and the colors in the sky, and we've got this nice corona effect around the sun, reflections on the water. So, every version we try to pick something in the environment and create an experience that offers a fairly large delta over the prior version. So yeah. That's one example of what we did in the last version.
It's too bad we can't do that for our real weather.
Yes,
I'd like a little sun now.
Yes, that's true. It would be nice to just turn a couple of dials and have a nice sunny day to go off and enjoy.
Yeah.
So.
What else can you show us?
What else can I show? I don't know, Steve. What do you think?
Ooh.
Can you do an aerobatic? What's the newest aircraft that is in the current version?
Well, okay, so the last version was centered around the Century of Flight, and we did something a little bit different with the aircraft list, which is we created a series of historic aircraft. So let's just see here. Let's select one of my favorites, the Douglas DC-3. And not only did we create a nice, let me change the time of day so you'll be able to see it. That'd be good. So not only did we create a very detailed exterior model, and a flight dynamic model for all these aircraft, but one of my favorite aspects is what we did with the interior. So here's the 2D panel for the DC-3, and we actually model a lot of the old sort of steam gauges. And whereas in the modern aircraft, we've got a Bendix King radio stack.
Now, was that the device we saw over in the office?
Yeah, that right there. That was HAL-PAD.
Right. So you saw the reference, the real-life reference for this radio. We actually implemented that in the SAM with all the old gauges and dials and switches and so forth. And it adds a lot of immersion to the experience. So you have a lot of different variety in terms of these. So let's see. So likewise with the throttle quadrant, you notice you have a nice sort of chipped paint on the levers and so forth.
Yeah.
So we have a really fantastic art team that takes the reference material we give in terms of photographs and creates a simulation experience that really gives you a sense of what it's like to fly some of these older aircraft. So I think we had 8 historic aircraft in the last version. that range all the way from the Wright Flyer up to the from a post-war design. So it's actually you know, quite a big difference for what most flight sim users are used to.
Yeah, it's really, really come along. I haven't seen it for 3 years, and it's come a long way since then. For a new flight sim user, what would you recommend they try out for the first half an hour?
Well, we have actually an introductory flight which they can elect to take when they get into the product. And it's simple, you know, tasks that are led by our virtual flight instructor, Rob Machado. And if they decide that's interesting, they want to go on, we have a whole lesson plan right from student pilot up to airline pilot. So the other thing is that we also, this version integrated a HTML-based, we call it the Learning Center, where all of the online help for not only using the product, but also a lot of the theory behind how the systems work and, you know, how to get the most out of the product, something like 500,000 words of content in HTML formats there. So that's accessible right from the main menu, and a new user ought to take a moment to just take a look at that and see, you know, where they can get the information that they might need.
Now, if you're an experienced 747 pilot and you work for United or something, what would you tell him to check out in the product?
Well, you know, I still think that the Learning Center is a good place to start. There is definitely a difference between a simulation running on a PC and a real aircraft or a full motion simulation like the pilot would be used to. There are obviously no real aircraft controls. You have some keyboard commands you probably ought to memorize. But once you've understood how to run the sim, the actual performance of the aircraft is going to be similar, if not identical. So, you know, United 747 pilots should feel right at home with the cockpit layout, with the reference speeds, with the performance handling characteristics of the aircraft. And all they need to do is just figure out how to work the sim.
Cool.
So,
thank you very much.
You bet.
It's great seeing the team, and had a great time here.